had the honor of being a part of the first team to come here about four summers ago, back in 2021. Never been to Boise before, knew nobody. And me and my team were so well received by you guys. We showed up knowing nobody. We're so blessed through prayer, through your kindness, through your hospitality. And I've only seen that grow throughout the years as we've gotten to grow in relationship, as we've gotten to be a part of this community for the last four summers now. I know that you guys know this as well, but I just want to honor your leaders so much. Pastor Trevor, Pastor Jesse, Pastor Josh, so many more people. You guys, these are some of the most sold out leaders that I know in this city. They are some of the most wholehearted individuals and love this community. Love you guys so much. They love you guys so much and will do anything for you guys and for this church. And so please thank them sometime. They probably don't hear it enough. Thank them today after service or something, because they're amazing. And we're just so blessed to be hosted so well by you guys. But before we get started into my message, I want to just start with a word of prayer. And so would you pray with me? Jesus, we just thank you that you show up every time. God, I thank you that it's not my words, but it's your spirit that changes things. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come and minister to us this morning. God, I ask that you would search our hearts, Lord, that you would reveal places within us where we can step into further alignment with you. God, I ask that we would not leave this morning walking out these doors the same as we walked in. But God, we want to walk out full of confidence in who you are. We want to walk out full of faith and full of power that is only available by your Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would move in this place this morning. Lord, would we look different? Because, Lord, we live in a world that needs us to look different. So come and have your way, Lord. We love you. Pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be finishing up our sermon series this week on Exodus 34. And we're going to be talking about the faithfulness. He is faithful. And so if you want to even right now, just start to turn your Bible to Exodus 34. I just want us to know that as you do this, I believe that this morning God wants to address some things in our hearts that may have been hidden. I believe that he wants to call us out of any complacency that we may be living in. And I also believe that he wants to expose foundations that will never measure up to the faithfulness of God this morning. And so I believe this is a message for all of us to hear. This is a message for all of us to respond to. And so I just want us to be willing to allow the Lord to take our hearts there. I want us to be willing to let him to move and to kind of open up the things within us that we may not want to have opened up. Because I believe that we could look different. We could look different after this morning. And so as we go, hopefully if you have your Bibles, we'll be at Exodus 34, verses 1 through 10. And I'll just read it if you don't have a Bible with you. So you can follow along if you do have your Bible. But Exodus 34, the Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them words that were on the first tablets which you broke. Be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks or herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down on the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name to the Lord. As he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation. So Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. "Lord," he said, "if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you. Obey what I have commanded you today. In just a moment here, I'm going to be having five of my friends just come up and share some testimonies of God's faithfulness. But even just in these last couple of verses, even in the video that we got to see earlier, I believe that that God is just so, he's asking for our belief in him because of his faithfulness. And I was doing a little bit of research this morning, and does anyone know off the top of their head how many times God makes promises in the Bible? Oh, it's a lot. I'll give you that much. But according to Google, don't quote me on this. I didn't count. But according to Google, God makes 8,810 promises throughout the scriptures. And what's wild about that is, you know how many promises that he's kept? 8,810. And so God has absolutely zero track record of breaking his promises, of failing us, and failing to be who he says he is. He's really the only one with perfect loyalty who's completely deserving of our trust. So oftentimes I see that we struggle with trusting the Lord. This is something that I think we all deal with. I think we've all had moments of struggling to trust him, but yet he has no past history or any reason to ever give us for not being worthy of our trust. And I believe that sometimes the reason we struggle is not because of his lack of faithfulness to us, but it's because of fear. And so fear is a stronghold that is built upon lies of the enemy, and it's a scheme of the enemy to choke the life out of us, to place us upon a foundation that is anywhere outside of the Lord. But the thing with fear is that it has absolutely no true power. We know that the courage is the master of fear, and so the only power that fear has is that which we give it. But yet we still do that so often. And so I was wondering, why would we even give power to fear? And it's because, guys, we were made to put our trust in something. We were made to put our trust in someone. And so some of us, I'm convinced this morning, I think the Lord wants to reveal any ways in our lives that we have not placed our trust and dependency fully on him. I believe that maybe for some of us, we've placed our trust in comfort and life circumstances. Maybe we've placed our trust in family or a job, or even sometimes we place trust in ourselves. But none of us was created to be God, so we have to put our trust somewhere. Yet he's the only one that's consistent enough to put our trust in. And I believe that what we need this morning is just a fresh infusion of faith. I believe that this morning we just need a fresh reminder of his worthiness, of how consistent he is to show up, and how much greater is he than the fear that kind of leads us away from his faithfulness. And so if you are sharing a testimony this morning, I'd love to just invite you to come up right now, all five of you guys. You can kind of just sit along here. I think you can grab one of that microphone right there. I think that'll be on. Thanks, man. But I just want us to hear these testimonies and to know that every single one of these stories is a story of God's faithfulness. It's a story that the God who is of the Bible still is today. The God who made promises thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago is still upholding his promise. And I want these stories just to speak to us, to move our hearts and lead us out of any fear that we may have and into a faith, a life filled with faith. And so, yeah, you guys can come, just come up on here. And Andrew, you can go ahead, share first.
There we go. All right, sweet. Good morning, Vineyard Church. I'm Andrew. I am 19. I'm in college, but I have a story that where God showed up last week. Last week we were in Salt Lake City, and we were evangelizing downtown in a kind of a harder area where there's a lot of brokenness. And God was just leading us to this one group of about 8 people, and He just asked us to just ask if any of them needed prayer. And so we asked, and we just sat there for about like 10 seconds, just dead silence. And then finally a man rose up, and he was like, yeah, I'll pray with you. He said, come over here. And then we found out later, actually, he was intoxicated in that moment. But anyways, we started talking with him, and he was about 40 years old, and he grew up in Sudan and was in war for 24 years of his life, fighting in 3 different continents. And he was struggling with a lot of shame and guilt of some of the things his superiors made him do. And he was baptized in the Baptist church when he was a kid, and then was just, that was about it, and he was struggling, but he wanted to know Jesus. And so Jesus was just faithful to pursue, and God ended up freeing him from shame and guilt that he had, that he carried. God not only met him, but he rededicated his life to Jesus. And God showed him already, because it was in Salt Lake City, that not to be a part of the LDS church, but God showed him, personally encountered him. And another really cool thing is he was sitting there, was like, I want prayer. I need prayer. I struggle with alcoholism. And that's when we found out that he was actually intoxicated in the moment. But God, he just was asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we prayed for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he said afterwards, he was shaking. He said, I felt power coming into me. And in that moment, he was actually made sober in that moment. He said, he literally was like pointing at us like, I was drunk before you guys prayed with me. I'm sober. I can think. I can feel. And he was like, he wanted to get baptized in that moment. And we were like searching up for water. And after that, we could see that he was just so hungry for more of Jesus. We gave him a Bible, and he was like, I'm gonna go read this. Like, I'm gonna read this. And we actually watched him walk over after we were done talking with him, and just start reading his word. And one more cool story about that is he said he has a problem with fighting people. And after that, there was actually a fight near them that broke out. And we got to watch this man pick up his bags and just completely walk away, not even get involved. You can see God's conviction in him. And so through this story, I hope you guys see that God's faithful to pursue the one. He's faithful to pursue the one.
Come on.
Hello, my name is Abby, and so I also have a story to share, obviously. So we were in Fort Collins, our team, and we went to go do outreach and evangelism at a park that had like a ton of food trucks. There was a lot of people. It was a very crowded park, and I have to be honest, going into evangelism and outreach that day, I just kind of wasn't feeling it. I was really tired, and it was a long day, and I just felt not really expectant. And we were going out for evangelism, and I'm just walking around, and I'm asking the Lord to like give me a heart for people and to point specific people out to me. Like, I was just like, Lord, I'm struggling. Like, my heart's just not here right now. And we're walking around for a while, and I see this girl, and she's sitting like on the sidewalk, and she's eating some street tacos, and I just couldn't stop looking at her. Like, my heart was just like so full of compassion for her. And I just asked the Lord, I was like, what is it that she needs to hear from you today? And I just felt like the Lord was saying that she was really struggling with depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts. And so I was like, all right, like, I'm just gonna go for it. And I went up to her, I sat right next to her on this curb, and without even introducing myself, the grace of the Lord was really there. But like, without even introducing myself, I asked her, like, do you struggle with depression and anxiety? And she just like puts down her taco, looks at me, and she goes, I've had it for so long and I've been feeling depressed and anxious for so long that I forgot I had it. Like, I'm just numb to feeling it. And in that moment, like, the Lord just like broke my heart for this girl. She was only 19 years old and I just like could feel her pain. And I got to just like share part of my story with her and how the Lord has freed me from those things and got to just speak life over her. And in that moment, like, the Lord just kind of gave me a revelation of although it's common to see depression and anxiety and mental health issues, it's not normal and it's not God's design. And so just got to like share that with her. And she was just getting so encountered by the Lord. And I had asked her if she knew Jesus, if she had received Jesus in her life. And she said, no, but I've been waiting for somebody to tell me how. And so I was just like, amen. And so I shared the gospel with her. I asked if she believed what I was saying was true, if she really believed in like Jesus. And she said, absolutely. And so she gave her life to Jesus and we prayed for freedom over her. And she felt so much lighter after. And you could even just see like life come back into her body. Like, you could see her smiling. You could see more of a glow in her eyes. And what was funny was like, halfway through me sharing the gospel with her, her group of friends that had gotten their food came back over and tried pulling her away. And she said, no, get away. Like, I want to listen to this. And which was just crazy. I didn't even know she was locked in that much, but she was. And when we had left, she went back to her friends and just like full of faith that she shared that experience with them. But even just to share like the peace of God's faithfulness and that one, obviously salvation, but also like even God's faithfulness to use me in a moment when honestly my heart just like wasn't there, and for me to just like ask God to give me a heart, like, he was so faithful and he doesn't have to use us. He's so powerful, but he actually desires to partner with us and to give us his heart for his people. And so yeah,
come on, such a faithful pursuit.
Hi, I'm Emma, and I also have another story to share from mental health. So 2 weeks ago, we were in Colorado Springs, and we were out in the city doing evangelism one afternoon. But before we had gone out, we had spent time in prayer and really asked the Lord what his heart was for that afternoon. And one of my teammates heard the word schizophrenia, which immediately resonated with me because my uncle has been struggling with schizophrenia for over 20 years. And I had full faith that the Lord would want to meet someone who's also suffering from that disease and would be able to free them in an instant. So we were walking around downtown, we made our way to a bus stop, and I just approached this lady. I was like, hey, like, we're from Every Heart. We're just out here sharing the love of Jesus. Like, is there any way I can pray for you? And she was like, no, thanks, actually. And she introduced us to her friend next to her. And the way she introduced him, I think, said a lot about how just how much bondage mental health can have, because she said, you may not want to talk to him. He has schizophrenia. And immediately my heart broke. And so I just got to know him, was asking questions and asking her questions about his life and all these different things, even outside of his mental illness. And finally, I just felt like the Lord was saying, hey, can we pray? So I asked her, his friend, hey, can we pray for him? And she was like, yeah, for sure. So we asked God that he would come and intervene in this man's life, specifically that the voices would stop, the brain chemistry would be straightened out, and that he would be set free. And so immediately after, he opened his eyes and he looked at me and said, the voices are gone. And he exclaimed, which is crazy. And one of my other teammates was able to share the gospel with him, and immediately it resonated and he said, I want it. And so he gave his life to Jesus. And really the only way that this was able to happen was through Jesus. Taking out any spirits or anything that just isn't of him and placing his Holy Spirit back in his child. But also, he was so faithful to reveal schizophrenia to us earlier in the day. It just really shows how what was God's to start was his to complete. It was nothing that we could do, but it was totally on him. So praise the Lord.
I'm Leah, and last week we were in Denver, Colorado. Our plan for the day was just to go on to outreach and evangelize to people on the streets. And as we were asking the Lord to reveal his heart for his people, one of our teammates felt a pressing of construction workers. So we went out through the day and just was, we were loving on God's people and preaching the gospel. And right before we were about to leave to go into the vans, we turned the corner and there was a group of 7 construction workers that they just got out of work. They were standing there. So immediately we felt led to go and talk to them. And we approached them and asked if they've ever heard the gospel. And every single one of them has, they never heard the gospel before. So one of our teammates presented the gospel. And towards the end, we asked if they wanted to respond. And all 7 of them responded and received Christ for the first time that day. Yeah. So, yeah, it was so cool that the Lord, it was their first time ever encountering Jesus. But, yeah, so.
So good. Yeah.
Good morning. My name's Elena. And so our week one, we were in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we were doing a homeless outreach. And I got to meet this lovely lady. She had never heard the gospel before. And I got to just present the gospel to her. Got to explain the cost of following Jesus too, and she was so in. She accepted Jesus into her heart. She was just so, so excited for that too. And then fast forward 2 weeks, so in Denver, Colorado, I got a text from her, and she actually said she was 2 weeks sober of meth. She was home, she's in a home. And she's going to a rehab center to get completely clean. So it's just, God just loves his people, loves his children, and just the simple gospel is so transforming. So it's just amazing. Wow. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much for sharing that. You guys are free to sit down. Oh, my word. I hope you guys hear through this the faithfulness of the Lord's pursuit over each and every single person. And I just want to read for us from Matthew 9 right now. Matthew 9:37 says that the harvest is ripe and the workers are few. Therefore, pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth more workers. And I've gotten the honor of walking and laboring alongside 16 other faithful harvesters this summer. This is something that we get to do for our summer. We get to set aside 8 weeks of our summer to go and preach the gospel in the streets of America, to host the presence of Jesus on street corners, to serve the broken, the marginalized, the lost. But I don't believe that this is limited to just a couple of young people who have a big dream, big vision, and a lot of faith. I believe this is available for every single one of us. What I see in Matthew 9 is a promise that the harvest is ready, and that there's an invitation. There's an invitation for us to partner with him in it. I want us to read just from Matthew 28. Again, if you've got your Bible, you can flip to it. If not, I'm still going to read it, so you'll get to hear it. Matthew 28, verse 16, this is the Great Commission. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, just like it says in Exodus 34, surely I am with you always to the very end of the ages. And so guys, church, this is our mission. Church, this is our mission, what we just read in Matthew 28. This is what we've been left here to do. And for too long, the enemy has used fear to place doubt in God's faithfulness, that he will be with us, that he will use us, that we are qualified by the Holy Spirit to go and see the Great Commission fulfilled. Even when we read this Great Commission, I want to read it again and listen to this through the context of a promise that God is making us. Not as a, can you make this happen? but as a, I am doing this. Are you with me? So listen to this. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so Jesus has once again made a promise. He's once again made a promise. And guys, this morning, I believe that the faithfulness of God requires a response, and that response is our faith in him. It's been too long that we, as a greater church body, have been bound by fear and have been silent and have kept the truth of the gospel to ourselves, and that's reflected in the world around us. I don't know if you guys are seeing what I'm seeing, but the statistics aren't great. I see a generation, my generation, in case you guys don't know this, my generation, Gen Z, is the most anxious and the most depressed generation in the history of humanity. It means that my generation is looking to every other thing to find their, to put their trust in other than the only one who is faithful. My generation needs a firm foundation. My generation is drowning in trying to find their own way, in trying to be their own ruler, trying to be their own master. But guys, we're called to live a life that flips normal upside down. We're called to live a life that flips normal upside down. And I believe that every single one of us can step into that today. I just want to read from Acts 1. This is where we find that power to live a life that changes things, to live a life that flips things upside down, is that in Acts 1, verses 4 through 8, it says, while he was with them, this is Jesus, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. It is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you? That if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, that his Spirit is living inside of you right now. That this is not even imaginable. No one before Jesus could ever even imagine the presence of God living and dwelling inside humans. There's moments where people accidentally touched the Ark of the Covenant where God's presence was held and fell flat on their face dead. Yet now we have the opportunity and we have the promise that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and we live and breathe and carry that power with us wherever we go. And so if there's any ounce of fear, if there is any doubt that you could be a solution to the Great Commission, I just believe that the Holy Spirit wants to rewrite that. The Holy Spirit wants you to know it never was by your power in the first place. It's always been by his power. I believe some of us maybe this morning have been walking and living without necessarily recognizing and understanding the weight of our purpose. And just even as I was praying over this morning, I just felt that maybe a lot of us, and this may even be specific to the older generation, but felt like maybe a lot of us had outlived our purpose, that our purpose had passed, that we'd gotten there. We said, the young people are doing it. That's not me anymore. And I believe that this morning is a fresh invitation for us to say yes to the purpose, that if you are here, if you are living, breathing, and you have Jesus, then your purpose in this life is to make him known. Your purpose is to make him known. And guys, we have no excuses. We really have no excuses because we've been given everything we need with the Holy Spirit. And maybe some of you guys still don't necessarily feel like that's sufficient. I get it. I want to point us to a story in the Bible, though, where we see Peter at the very end, right before Jesus' death, right after he's betrayed by Judas. Jesus is being led to the Romans. He's being handed over. He's going to the cross. And three times, Peter's asked, "Do you know him?" "No." "Do you know him?" "No." "Do you know him?" "No, I don't know this man." Yet we see in Acts 2 the redemption. We see in Acts 2 the redemption when the Holy Spirit comes upon the upper room of believers, where Peter and the other apostles are all gathered, and the Holy Spirit comes, and they are filled with the power and authority that is available only by the Holy Spirit. People begin to question, what's going on? What's happening? And Peter stands up. He stands up. He says, "I know what's going to, I know what's happening. This is what Jesus promised, that he would give us his Spirit in the last days." And that is what we are experiencing right now, that his Spirit is coming upon us. And not only does he proclaim the name of Jesus, he condemns those who crucified him. He says, "You crucified him. You crucified him when he came for you, the Messiah." He proclaims these things, gives people an invitation to respond, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus, committed to the faith, baptized that day. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. This is what happens because the Holy Spirit is living, breathing, and active inside of you, inside of me. This isn't just a Holy Spirit that's dedicated for an Every Heart team that is committed to going for a summer. This isn't a Holy Spirit that leaves us when we go home. This isn't a Holy Spirit that leaves any of us when we go home. And we leave these four walls. And so, guys, I just believe that there's an invitation for us to respond. I want to kind of wrap up everything we've talked about, and band, you're more than welcome to kind of come back on stage, and we'll respond with some worship as well. But I know I've hit a lot of things this morning, but I feel like there's maybe a broad response for many of us. Maybe today, this morning, there's been some fears that have been exposed in our hearts. Maybe there's fears that have been exposed of or insecurities or unbeliefs of, I don't know if I can be a gospel preacher. I don't know if I can really display who Jesus is confidently. I don't know if I have the social skills to evangelize. I don't know if all the questions. Maybe some of us are feeling like I don't necessarily know if I've got the power that's within me available through the Holy Spirit to actually live this out. Maybe some of us are just bound with like an anxiety. It's an anxiety that comes from not having a foundation fully planted upon Jesus. It's an anxiety that comes because we don't trust him fully, and that's okay, but I believe that the Lord wants to take all of those things this morning and cover it. I believe that he wants to rewrite that and shift it. And so, I just want us to have an opportunity to respond. Is that when we see his faithfulness, when we see all 8,810 promises that he's made and kept, I believe that his faithfulness requires a response from us. That response is faith. And faith always is accompanied by action. It's not just a belief, but it's an action too. And so I don't know exactly what action that might be for you this morning, but I specifically think that if you feel like there is a part of you that has been resistant to being one who lives on mission. I believe that this is an opportunity for you to step into that obedience. This is an opportunity for you to step into that faith.